Acts chapter 21. When we parted from them and set sail, this is after he'd been telling them that on the beach in Ephesus that he wasn't going, or near Ephesus, that he wasn't going to see their face again. He was going to go to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit had said that he was to suffer there. So when we parted from them, and it was obviously difficult, and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. When it says they came by a straight course, it means that the wind was blowing right behind them. Now, when we read the Bible was written, the New Testament was written in Greek, and most of the Old Testament in Hebrew. And the same word in those languages is used for wind and for spirit. So the wind was blowing directly behind them as they made this journey. And I think you can read that as meaning that the Spirit of God was sort of willing them on their way. So they came with a straight course. The wind was blowing right behind them. So there's Paul. He's bravely decided that he will go to Jerusalem and suffer there. And God is speeding him on his way. And having found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we got aboard and set sail. When we come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and headed to Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having found the disciples, we stayed there 7 days. And these said to Paul through the Spirit that he shouldn't set foot in Jerusalem. When our time was up, we left and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children until we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. We went on board the ship, and they returned home. And when we'd finished the journey from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the believers and stayed with them 1 day. So as soon as they came to a town, they immediately tried to work out, where are the believers? Where are the Christians? And that's how we should be. That really, our true brothers and sisters in Christ are our family. And you turn up in a town, like, where's our people? And that's the bond that we've got, because we are hoping to live together forever with each other in God's kingdom. The next day we departed and we came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, the preacher, who was one of the seven deacons, and we stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied, that is, they taught God's word, they spoke out God's word. And as we stayed there some days, there came down from Judea a prophet called Agabus, and he came to us, and taking Paul's belt, he bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt, and will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, both we and those of that place begged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." So the Holy Spirit was not telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. That was their interpretation. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, was what was used to foretell the future and to speak forth God's word. And they were simply telling him on God's behalf that this is what's going to happen to you if you go to Jerusalem. Just like on the last journey of Jesus to Jerusalem, he knew what was going to happen to him there, but he still kept going. So in life, it's sometimes difficult to interpret rightly the signs we get from God. Should I do this when I know difficulty is going to come to me if I do? Well, we do it because we know that on balance, we think that that is the way God means us to go. And so we took up our bags and went up to Jerusalem. And I think it's significant he talks about taking up our bags, because they had gathered various things from the Gentiles, the people who weren't Jews, in the various churches to take with them to give to the Jews, the Jewish Christians, in Jerusalem, because there was a famine. And they went up with us also some of the disciples from Caesarea, bringing with them one disciple called Manassen of Cyprus, who was an early disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. And the next day, Paul went with us to James, and all the elders of the church were there. He greeted them, and he told them, one by one, the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews who have believed, and they're all zealous to still keep the law of Moses. And they've been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are living among the Gentiles to leave Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs of the Jews. So what should we do? They'll certainly hear that you've come. So do what we tell you. We have four men who've taken a vow, made a promise to God. Take them and purify yourself along with them. Pay their expenses, that they may shave their heads, and everyone will know that there's no truth in the things of which they've been told about you. But you yourself also keep the law of Moses. But about the Gentiles who have believed, we wrote, giving judgment, that they should keep themselves from things sacrificed to idols, and from eating blood, and things that are strangled, and from fornication. So Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself along with them, went into the temple, declaring the fulfillment of the days of purification until the offering was offered for every one of them. When the 7 days were almost finished, the Jews from Asia, who had followed Paul, it seems, there to Jerusalem, they hated him so much, when they saw Paul in the temple, they stirred up all the crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the Jewish people and the Jewish law, and against this place, the temple. And he even brought Gentiles into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For before they had seen him in the city of Jerusalem, together with Trophimus from Ephesus, whom they imagined Paul had brought into the temple. Well, it was really hard for Gentiles to get anywhere near entering the temple. There was no way that Paul could have done this. It was absolute nonsense. And it was obvious that he could not have smuggled Gentiles into the temple. But people believe what they want to believe. Even if it's untrue slander about somebody, people will rush to believe it if they're jealous or they've got some reason for believing it. So all the city of Jerusalem was moved, and the people ran together. They grabbed Paul and dragged him out of the temple. And immediately the doors were shut, and as they were about to kill him, news came to the chief captain that all Jerusalem was in riot. He took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers coming, they stopped beating Paul. So they'd have got pretty near to killing him. I'm sure they broke all his teeth out of his mouth and had beaten him really badly. And don't forget, there's an Iconium. They beat him so badly, they thought they had killed him. And I think maybe he was killed, but then he rose up. He was maybe resurrected. So he'd been beaten up badly many times. Then the chief captain came near, laid hold of Paul, and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and inquired who he was and what he had done. And among the crowd, some shouted one thing, some another. When he couldn't know the actual reason of the riot, he commanded Paul to be brought into the fortress of Antonia. When Paul reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd, for the crowd followed, screaming, "Away with him!" And as Paul was about to be brought into the fortress, he said to the chief captain, "Can I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you speak Greek? Aren't you that Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a riot and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men who were terrorists?" But Paul said, "I am a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no small city, and I beg you, please let me speak to the people." And when he'd allowed him, Paul, standing on the stairs, beckoned with his hand to the people, and there was made a great silence, and he spoke to them in the Hebrew language. So, Paul was so zealous to preach. I mean, they'd nearly killed, and instead of thinking, "Wow, thank you, God, you just saved my life by these Roman soldiers," he's like, "Oh, can I just talk to the people? I want to preach to them." So he's got this great desire that we should have to get the message out to as many people as possible.